It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump have been trading threats and personal insults. It's even gotten to who has the bigger nuclear button. Now, the U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense insist that despite that, they are still pursuing diplomacy. But that does not mean the United States is not preparing for a different scenario. Here is Defense Secretary James Mattis speaking last fall.
Now, what does the future hold? Neither you nor I can say. So there's one thing the U.S. Army can do, and that is you have got to be ready to ensure that we have military options that our president can employ if needed.
Military options when dealing with North Korea. Those are some pretty strong and important words that we should explore more with NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman, who's here. Hey, Tom.
Hey, David.
So what have you been looking at? Are there actually options being, considered for North Korea?
Well, one of the things the Army is doing is training many more soldiers, thousands more soldiers, in tunnel warfare. Usually the Army has one or two brigades, and a brigade is about 4,000 soldiers trained in this kind of activity. They want to double, maybe even triple the number of soldiers because North Korea is basically honeycombed with tunnels and bunkers, thousands of them. And this is all an effort just to get ready should the president say, it's time for military action against North Korea.
So for decades, the North has been, building this network of tunnels, anticipating a possible war with the South or the U.S. or somebody?
Absolutely. They bury chemical, biological weapons in these tunnels. They have some for troops. They're miles long, some hundreds of feet deep. Nuclear weapons can be put in these tunnels. Even artillery can be put in these tunnels and rolled out when need be. Now, they've discovered some of these tunnels under the demilitarized zone, and some have even gotten closer to Seoul. One is now a tourist site in Seoul that people can go into.
Really? I also went to the demilitarized zone. There's a tunnel you can go down right up to the North Korean border. Is that one of these tunnels, too?
I'm not sure if that's one, but it could
maybe
be.
They've recreated it, but I'll certainly go there next time. It won't be as much fun with all these tensions that are there. How much does the U.S. know about these tunnels? It's not like this is a country that I presume they can get a ton of intelligence from. I mean, do they have a good sense of what these tunnels are like, where they are? How much prep can they actually do?
Well, they can see from satellites some entrances and exits from some of these tunnels. They know there are thousands of them, and again, hundreds of feet deep. But again, if there is military action against North Korea and some of them are so deep, you're going to have to send soldiers, U.S. soldiers, South Korean soldiers, into these tunnels to either, find nuclear weapons or chemical and biological weapons because they're so far underground, they're not going to be able to be taken out by bombs or missiles.
Totally different kind of warfare, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I'm told that the soldiers from the 101st Airborne, the 82nd Airborne, are among those soldiers tapped to get this kind of training. They've also bought specialized equipment, bolt cutters, acetylene torches, special night vision goggles, because in the tunnels there's no ambient light, special radios as well. And they're going to be training throughout 2018. But I think it's important to note that this is just getting ready. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has said the Army must be ready. This does not mean that the U.S. is inching closer to war. It means, as Mattis said, the Army has to be ready if the president needs options.
Okay, so this is the kind of thing that might go on with different scenarios that the military is considering around the world.
But
it is noteworthy that they are specifically looking at the situation in North Korea and what the U.S. military could confront.
Right, and the Army's doing this quietly. They're not basically coming out and putting out press releases about this training.
That would probably not be the best idea.
Right, it is very quietly being done.
NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman. Tom, thanks.
You're welcome, David.
The University of Alabama won the national football title again. It's the fifth time in a decade, and the game was dramatic. It began with some political protests and ended in overtime before the Crimson Tide beat the Georgia Bulldogs 26-23. Here's Ross Terrell of our member station WABE.
Before the game started, President Trump took the spotlight. He was greeted by protesters outside the stadium, including Isabel Hidalgo.
Basically, we don't want him to think he can just come here without anybody saying, we don't like you, we want you impeached, you're nuts, get out of our town.
Inside, he stood on the field for the national anthem, where he was met with applause and boos. But then it was time for the main event, the national championship game. It was a raucous crowd as the game began. And Georgia jumped out to a 13-0 lead at halftime. Defensive player of the game, Deron Payne, says something changed in the Alabama locker room at half.
I think we went in and Coach Saban told us we needed to tighten things up. And I guess the team heard Coach and we came out and tried to play our best ball.
In the third quarter, Alabama head coach Nick Saban rolled the dice and came up big. He benched their starting quarterback for a true freshman, Tua Tagovailoa.
I thought Tua would give us a better chance and a spark, which he certainly did.
Tagovailoa led the Crimson Tide to their first touchdown of the game about 6 minutes into the third quarter. UGA responded with a touchdown of their own, but Alabama scored the next 13 points of the game to tie it at 20 apiece. They missed a field goal that would have won it in regulation, but instead finished the job in overtime. Tua threw a game-winning 41-yard touchdown pass to fellow freshman Devontae Smith.
I looked back out and he was wide open, so I hit him and you know, here we are now, thank God.
It was the freshman that helped win it all. That turned out to be the play and the story of the game. Alabama coach Nick Saban says he can't remember a time when they had to rely on so many young players to win a matchup.
A lot of those guys are really mature for their age, and they were ready to make contribution. And they certainly did a fantastic job for us this year. There's no doubt about that.
With the win, Saban remains undefeated against former assistant coaches. He's now 12-0. This time, he knocked off Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, who worked with Saban for 9 years at Alabama. The Crimson Tide claimed their 17th national title. For NPR News, I'm Ross Terrell in Atlanta.
Later today on All Things Considered, why did Americans serving at the U.S. Embassy in Cuba experience hearing loss and other health problems? Hear that on your NPR station or by telling your smart speaker to play NPR. This is NPR News.